You're listening to UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.
So guys, joining me on the show today, I've got Maish Tulson from Compassion Ireland. Maish was a guest a couple of weeks ago here on the show, and we got to hear her story about how God got her attention, how she laid down her life to follow him, how she ended up in Ireland, and how she has ended up doing the work that she has done and is doing with Compassion Ireland. And we're so privileged that she is a regular guest here on the show. Maish, I hope I've done you justice in that little introduction. Thanks for joining us today and being here on UCB Ireland.
I'm super excited about our time together, Tim. So thank you for the very generous intro.
Class. I once heard somebody say, I think it was a mutual friend of ours, James Riley, say, "God, help me to be the person that they think I am." just a brilliant, brilliant thought. So, Maish, the last time you were with us, we talked about, you know, your journey and your story into Compassion Ireland. But we probably, you know, we're talking about bringing our listeners on a journey. We probably need to talk about Compassion Ireland and kind of, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with who Compassion are as an organization, kind of, if you can, in a minute, and we'll talk about how you do things and why you do things in a moment, but kind of tell us, what is the mission of Compassion?
Wow. Well, thanks for that, Tim. Well, the mission that we have is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And we're going to unpack more about that in a little while, Tim. But just to start off this conversation, and to many of our listeners out there, do you know there's so many things I love about Compassion, but nothing can top the joy of seeing lives radically transformed by God's love. And when offered in His name, as in our mission statement, in Jesus' name, the most seemingly simple acts of kindness can yield eternal impact. And that's why I'm here. And more church partners all over the world, church leaders like yourself, Tim, are partnering with us, individuals, families, groups, who are some of the listeners probably we have decided to sponsor, to seeing a child, a young adult, or entire family lifted out of the darkness and despair of poverty and set on a path towards a life of abundance in Jesus. So just a bit of a inspo there.
I love that. That's really good. And I know that embedded in the heart of Compassion is scripture. And I think that's so important that everything that we do is centered around the word of God. And you guys have got a little piece of Isaiah 58 embedded into the heart of who you are. It's Isaiah 58 verse 10. And my paraphrase memory of it is that if you spend yourself on behalf of others, and you know, there's a specific people group that you guys work with, and that when we spend ourselves on behalf of those, then we're known as the noonday sun. We're known as refreshers. We're known as kind of, you know, people of living water, springs of life. And I suppose that's really the encouragement that we have to anyone listening today when they are thinking about Compassion Ireland, that one, God calls us, he calls worship, you know, to love the widows and the orphans. And that's really specific. But then there's an impact, not just on the people that are receiving that, but there's an impact on the giver as well. And I think it's important to kind of remember that it's not just about what we're sending, it's about what we're receiving as well. And when we spend ourselves on behalf of the needy and the broken and the widows and the orphans, and primarily when we're talking about Compassion, obviously the orphans and the children, you know, that God refreshes us, and that's a really beautiful thing. And I know, Maish, that you guys have got three C's, and rather than me steal your thunder on the three C's, would you kind of unpack those for us so that our listeners kind of understand? We know that God has called us to this, but tell us then how you guys unpack that mission to, you know, work with kids in Jesus' name.
I love that. So the Compassion difference, Tim, and the reason why I'm just super excited about this, because many listeners or even yourself have are aware of Compassion, but there's A compassion difference. These are the three C's that you mentioned, and these are our non-negotiables. So I'm excited. The first C is Christ-centered. We're church-driven and child-focused. So those are the three chord approach that compassion follows as an organization, and that we have been practicing for over 70 years now. So we're going to unpack the first C, shall we, Tim?
Oh, please do that. I was glad that you said that because if you didn't, I was going to go, come on, Maze, you can't just tell us there's three C's without telling us what those three C's are.
So the first C is Christ-centered. It's the core of who and what we are. And this goes really deep. It's this conviction to join Jesus in his movement to release children. It's his movement. And the hero is Jesus. And so what that means is that everything that we do in his name, to be in his way, in his time, and with his provision. It's his movement. It's his movements. And therefore, as Compassion, as an organization together, he is inviting us, particularly in this ministry, and a certain group of people, which is the church, which is us. And part of our passion is really seeing all churches coming together, united, becoming God's hands and feet and mouth, and releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. So the second C is church-driven. And I love this because, we used the term church-based before, and there is this intentionality and the consciousness of making sure that this is not just partnering through churches, but with churches. Because we know this, that the hero is the church that Jesus built. And as a church, we really want to see churches coming alive, preparing churches to become the bride of Christ. And let me tell you something, Tim. When I had the opportunity to go visit Togo, which is one of the compassion countries that we work in, Togo is situated in the West Africa, bordered by Benin, Burkina Faso, and Ghana. And in my visit there, I get the chance to meet with all of our frontline church partners. And what I love about this church-driven aspect of compassion is that we see churches becoming mature, where compassion is a catalyst for the church's mission to love our neighbor and care for the poor, reaching the whole world for Christ. And in this situation, Tim, while I was in Togo, it was such a gift to see churches being part of that ministry, being empowered, and they're being empowered to have a say in the whole discipleship and apprenticeship process of how we engage in releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. The local churches are the ones who are providing the discipleship and leadership program to the children. And speaking of children, that brings me to the third C, which is child focused. And this is what gets me also very excited, Tim, because, as a child, the greatest weapon that we can use to alleviate poverty is telling this child that they are worthy, that they are valued, that they are cherished. And when a child realizes its full potential in Christ, understands their identity in Christ, they become world changers. One example that I really remember, this very powerful story of Richmond Wandera. Richmond was sponsored at the age of 8 when he was in Uganda. And he was sponsored by a girl from UK, and her name is Heather, and she was 15 at the time. And I think Richmond was saying this story about how he never understood why would someone from the other side of the world choose to sponsor him when she hasn't even met him. And that really struck him a chord in his heart. So while at the project center, they were told about who Jesus is. They were taught about who they are in Christ. But on top of that, he also received letters from Heather, who would remind him that he is loved, valued, and cherished. Now, fast forward, Richmond is now called Richmond, Dr. Richmond Wandera, and he is also the founder of the Pastor's Discipleship Network that is training over 8,000 churches and having an impact on 750,000 lives. And I would never forget this when he mentioned this to him. He said, "They were once in the mission. They were once the mission, but now they're going back into the mission field."
That is so amazing. Amazed to think that the impact that has taken place with just one life being changed is quite extraordinary, and well done to everyone involved in making that happen. I wonder, does the person who sponsored that young man, are they aware of the impact that they had on that kid?
That's interesting, Tim, because they did try to trace the sponsor, but they could not trace her anymore. So once the child is have graduated from the program, they have an option whether they wish to continue on with the communication. But obviously, a lot of factors that we don't know. But we couldn't trace her, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a real shame. But then I suppose the reality is that when we make that decision for those who sponsor, you don't really do it, kind of thinking, that, I'm gonna make sure that I know where my money is going and how it's being spent and all of those things. And that particular individual has probably sponsored several other children since then, because I know that certainly in a lot of the conversations that I've been having with people is that whenever the child that they're sponsoring grows up, they go, okay, we've done our job, that's fine, let's move on to the next one in the best possible sense. Not like it's a conveyor belt and that the people are commodities, but you just want to use your time, your energy, resources to think about, how can I meet a need and where is that need. And more often than not, people kind of once that kind of age, or the child becomes of age, is probably a better way to say it. They move on. But God bless whoever that was. I know that God knows who that person was. And there's something inside of me as I'm
Yes, it's trusting the
thinking,
Lord, isn't it?
yeah, it really is. It's left with the Lord and it's up to the Lord. But I'm also thinking, when we go to glory, because there is going to be a day, Maisie, and you know this, and I know this, and our listeners know this. There will be a day when we will all stand before the Lord with the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And those two people, that sponsor and that young man, will come together to worship the Lord together. And won't that be a moment?
Oh, Tim, I love that. I love that you mentioned that because I would go visit different churches around the country, Tim, and I'd paint a picture like that kind of picture to encourage sponsors because it's not much from us, right? But it can be a lot for for children. But I'd paint this picture and say, can you imagine someday that the child that you sponsor, when we're all in heaven, will tap you on your shoulder, look you in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for believing me. Thank you for being my friend and for accepting me to be a part of your extended family. And Jesus standing next to the child and saying, well done, faithful servant. Well done. And that picture really always brings a tear in my eye, Tim, because we don't even realize the eternal impact of the choices that we make here on earth, isn't it, Tim?
We really have no clue. The other kind of thing, Maisie, that I'm thinking, and forgive me for taking this off in a little bit of a different direction, is that I've been guilty of this in the past. This is why it's in my head, and I want to talk about it if that's okay. because
Yeah.
as we've been having this conversation, it's come back into my head. There are some people, and I'm guilty of this and have been guilty of this in the past. There are some people who sponsor kids and they send the money, or the money comes out of their bank account every month and it's a direct debit, but they don't communicate with the children that they're sponsoring.
Yeah.
And I want to find a way, if we can, or if you can, you're way more knowledgeable than I am on this stuff. How can we communicate the impact of the communication between the sponsor and the sponsee? How can we help our people who are sponsoring kids currently right now to realize that it's not just the direct debit that matters, but it's the communication as well?
Yeah, that's a good question to ask, Tim. And Christmas is coming. This would be a really good motivation for people to come out and just write letter. But maybe the question I want to ask, what barriers are people experiencing for not doing so, for not writing the letters? Because I've also had great conversations, and one of the barriers could be, I just don't know what to write to my kid. So we just say, just keep it simple. It doesn't have to be 10 long sentences. I remember encountering this former Compassion Child who now lives in Belfast, and he is now pastoring a church called Ulster Temple, and his name is Jacob George. I've asked his permission to share this story. But he graduated from a Compassion Project in India years ago, and God brought him over to Belfast. And now, where I'm going here, Tim, is when I've asked him to share about his sponsorship story at the conference, there was one single aspect to what he shared. He brought along with him a bag at what looks like a suitcase. And I asked him, what's inside the suitcase, Jacob? And he said, I brought all the letters that I received from my sponsor, all the way from India to Belfast, Tim,
Wow.
and kept it for 25 years. And the reason why I'm sharing this, because I ask him, is it all right if if you share one letter with me? I'm just curious, why would you keep those letters? What's so special about those letters? So he opened that letter, and his sponsor was a group of kids' church from America. And in that letter, the kids wrote, "Dear Jacob, today we read about David and Goliath. We are praying for you, and we love you." That was it. And he kept it.
Wow.
So we don't need to be overthinking about letters. I just really want to encourage many of our listeners out there, even just the word God loves you, they keep it. Even if it's just the word we're praying for you, it means so much to them. There's another sponsor who, year after year, she wrote to her sponsor child, and she wrote there, "Dear beautiful Hannah." Obviously her sponsor child's name is Hannah. And she was so committed to her, and she just started off that letter year after year calling her beautiful Hannah. She didn't know that Hannah was being bullied in school, but Hannah kept receiving those letters. And then Hannah shared towards the end, she said, "You didn't realize this, but that word just really helped me get through the toughest times of my life. And today she is standing because of that one word, beautiful." And so I want to encourage myself, even because I sponsor a child, just to be committed, just to, I think, just encouragement there is the life-giving words. We have been given the privilege to speak life-giving words over people in our lives. And that includes the child that you sponsor or will be sponsoring in the future, to just be the light. We talked about pushing the light out of the darkness. And as we do that, we get refreshed, same, don't we?
Love it. I'm very conscious that we know that the death and life are in the power of the tongue, aren't they? And Paul writes to the all of the churches. No doubt you'll find an encouragement in every one of his letters to the churches around this idea of encouraging one another, spurring one another on, greeting each other with, positivity and life. And we talk about encouragement being the sound of heaven and how when we encourage, we are releasing heaven where the prophetic is to strengthen, to build up and to, edify and encourage. And those are what those letters can do. And I love the idea of it just being the simplest of things. I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, you're beautiful. God loves you. I mean, if you were to, if I was to receive that in a letter, I would be over the moon. You know, the world is very full of discouragement, isn't it? And I probably just want to just dig with this, Maisie, and just kind of reiterate what you've just said in terms of encouraging our listeners to, write the letters. And it's coming up to Christmas. Write the Christmas cards. Get them sent and
Yeah,
get
and
them
not to
sent.
wait until, yeah, and not to wait until Christmas, because with the letters, they go to the most remotest villages, Tim. So I would really encourage our listeners to start writing as early as October. Get them sent out so that the letters get sent before Christmas. It would be such a gift for these children to receive a Christmas blessing from the other side of the world. They get seen, they get known, and they get connected through those letters.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's do this. Let's commit to helping our kids that God has entrusted into our care, that we get the sponsor to know that he knows them, that he loves them, that he sees them, and that he hears them. Maish, thanks so much for joining me today. So good to have you. And we'll get you back in a couple of weeks. And I'd love, you know what I'd love next time, Maish, if we could get a couple of stories to play to our listeners from some people who've been impacted by sponsorship and impacted by the work for compassion. It's great that you and I can talk, and it's great that you can share, what God is doing and what he's up to. But wouldn't it be great if we could hear our listeners, I suppose, and we and I could hear it straight from the horse's mouth as well. And so we might kind of tee that up for next time, if that's okay.
Yes, that is going to be really, really powerful. So I'd encourage our listeners to come back and tune in again.
Your sound, your station, UCB Ireland.